Oh, hi, Mark.
What's going on? Mark Grody with you on what looks to be a beautiful Memorial Day Sunday. Haven't been outside yet, so I'm just looking outside the window, looking at the lake. It's glistening. I don't see any boats out there right now. But they'll probably be out there later. It's only 10 o'clock in the morning here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome into the show. This would officially be the Bernstein and Holmes show, but Bernstein and Holmes are off for the holiday, so it is me, Mark Grody, with you up until 12:45 today. That's when it will be Cubs baseball. The Chicago Cubs hosting the mighty Tampa Bay Rays. Again, 12:45 is when the pregame for that will be, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Also on the program today, Bears Talk at 11 a.m. with Clay Harbor, Andy Martinez from Marquee Sports Network talking Cubs with us at noon. And you are welcome anytime to interact. I would certainly encourage it at 312-644-6767. That is my phone number to call The Score. And if you do call that number, 312-644-6767, the man to whom you will speak is Tyler Farengel. He is the executive producer of this very special Memorial Day show. So he will take your call and get you right on the air here this morning if you want to get into that. So, yeah, like we were talking about in the transition with Rosenblum and Espo, who were in today for Mully and Haw, is that, yeah, those two losses, just really a couple of trash losses for the Cubs and the Sox. Yesterday, I think we highlighted some of that. The Reds just put a spanking on the Cubs, though, in this series. And as I was watching the game yesterday, I wasn't so much thinking to myself, are the Cubs bad? And we can ask that question. Are they true? Is the way they are trending what they actually are? And there's a case probably both ways at 22 and 30, because the Cubs were really good to start the season. Are they slumping or are they coming back to the mean right now? And with this West Coast road trip, I think that we are going to find out. Not to mention the Tampa Bay Rays in town today starting for starting today. And I'm just kind of fumbling here because I'm looking, oh yeah, of course, it's Marcus Stroman against Shane McClanahan today. So take some of that today if you are the Chicago Cubs. I wasn't really thinking that, though. What I was thinking as I was watching the Reds all weekend was, oh my God, are the Reds good? Is it possible that Cincinnati is good? Because you don't want to think about the other. When your team is in the process of a rebuild, as the Cubs are, you don't want to think about another team in the division passing you up in terms of progress in your rebuild, your teardown and your rebuild. Now, the Reds' teardown was a little better than the Cubs' teardown this time around, because the Reds were a filthy, awful, filthy in the real way, the real definition, the old school definition. The Reds were a filthy, awful baseball team last year that lost 100 games, harkening back to the Cubs' days of 2013. So they did it a little bit better in terms of that. But then I'm like, hold on a second. The Reds can't possibly be progressing and going on a run that maybe is them coming back to the mean. And I thought, let me just dig into the Reds a little bit here and see kind of what they're all about. And the best summary about the Reds is that their rotation is struggling. Their defense is bad. They don't hit home runs. I told you about the 100 losses last year. Didn't even mention the dejection of not having Luis Castillo on this team. And I know that was last summer. But to answer the question, are the Reds good? I'd say no. They are hitting .256 as a team right now, are the Reds. They are slugging .391. Not particularly good. Their OPS as a team, Cincinnati Reds, again, they are at .723. That is just barely average. Barely average. So to answer my own question, are the Reds good? No. No. The Reds are not good. And I know that they've got Ellie De La Cruz coming up, who looks like a great baseball player, like one of the top 10 prospect in baseball, and he's knocking at the door of the big leagues for the Reds. So I'm excited. I mean, I'm always excited about guys like that because they're putting that little – that he might be next, Ellie De La Cruz, if he's not better than O'Neill Cruz. Those are great names too, by the way. Ellie De La Cruz and O'Neill Cruz. Oh, man. Of course, with the Pirates. But point is, no, this isn't just the Reds making their move. The Reds are not a great team. And, you know, some of this, too, was like, and of course, so I went to the game on the Friday game. That's the game where the Reds beat the Cubs 9-0. Cubs were out hit 19-2. Yeah, I saw Hit Parade live at Wrigley Field on Friday. The Hunter Green game had the no-no going on that nobody knew about because it was, the Cubs were being out hit 19-2, and it was a blowout game. And of course, I was at that game because Justin Steele was pitching that day. And I'm the one that said at the beginning of the season, what's all this Justin Steele hype? And then he's been great. And then, of course, when I go to the game, he just completely flops. But it did look like a Reds team all weekend that was just dialed in. That's not good. I think that it's pretty safe to say the Reds are bad. And I say this knowing the Cubs are 22-30 and 5.5 games out in the division right now. And that brings us to the other part about the Cubs, too. And that is, where does David Ross, the manager, come in all of this? It seems like where David Ross has been getting burned the most recently is good old-fashioned bullpen. And it's really hard for managers to play through bad bullpen. So the Cubs pen ranked 26th with a 4.61 ERA coming into yesterday's game. And so he's putting arms in, seemingly making mostly logical moves out of the bullpen as David Ross, from what I've seen. Mostly logical moves, but a lot of them just have fallen on their faces. Like on Saturday, the Tyone start. David Ross, Tyone looks horrible, pulls him in the fifth inning, puts Michael Fulmer in, who promptly is horrible in that game. He eventually, okay, Fulmer. By the way, you can't hide Michael Fulmer in the fifth inning. How about that? That sucks. That sucks, right? I mean, Michael Fulmer begins the season this year as the closer, right? Wasn't he the guy they marched out there in game one of this season?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, and I didn't have a problem with that. I was like, okay. You know, I've always liked Michael Fulmer from a distance in Detroit. I mean, his days as a starter and then as a reliever, and the numbers were really good. So, quite frankly, I was excited and thumbs up on the move. It's just a move that hasn't worked out. But, yeah, Michael Fulmer was the first guy to go out. Let's see what this guy's got. He looks the part for sure in terms of a closer and has not worked out. Dave Ross, ooh, okay, this is a spot of consequence. Let me try to slide him in here in the fifth inning. Nope. Didn't work out right there. We saw it. We all knew that Michael Fulmer was in the fifth inning. And then is finally pulls Fulmer out after he failed. And then comes Jeremiah Estrada in after that. And then he also goes down the tubes as well. So that is just one snapshot of, you could look at those moves and say they weren't terrible moves. You know, you were trying to hide Fulmer. And maybe even logical moves. But they come to backfire for sure. So, in other words, I can't put a lot of culpability on David Ross as it pertains to one of the most important parts of managing, or one of the parts that can make you or break you as a manager. Do your bullpen arms work when you put them into the game? And it's such a volatile position in sports to begin with, in terms of the, you know, being good one year and being bad the next year. So, I think that it, and I know Jed Hoyer said something recently on The Score in regards to the criticisms of David Ross. And this was like a week or two ago before things really, you know, started to go down the tubes here, at least at this point in the season for the Cubs. And, you know, Jed Hoyer was basically saying that David Ross doesn't have the horses. And I think that, I think it's okay. And I'll be honest with you here. Jed Hoyer has been pretty transparent about what this year is. There was a broadcast earlier this year on Marquee where Jed Hoyer was in the booth. It was, somebody will know on the text line here, or the, maybe you'll even come up with it, Tyler Farengold, back in our studios. But it was a game where Jed Hoyer was in the booth. The Cubs were down like 8 or something like that. And Jed Hoyer was kind of admitting, hey, you know, this is where it can be problematic. We're down big here in this game. We don't necessarily have the firepower yet to overcome, paraphrasing what he said. So that's just him knowing what this team is all about and knowing what this team is not all about, and also knowing and kind of telling us what this team is not ready to do yet. And he has said things like that, and then being coming to David Ross's rescue on the radio and saying, well, he doesn't exactly have the lineup, the pitchers, the bullpen that he's going to eventually have. And I get it. Sometimes those kind of things can be insincere, a little disingenuous, like where you take the hit for your teammate. But I do think that this is a Jed Hoyer team. This is a when you're rebuilding, it's not in the manager's hands yet. And I hope, just like as a human, that for David Ross's sake, that when this game and this team and this roster truly is in David Ross's hands, that he will be able to succeed with it. And I think that's what the Cubs want too. And if he doesn't, then he's going to get the Renteria treatment. You know what I mean? Like we're going to have to upgrade here. But I don't think now is the time to, you could poke holes in what David Ross is doing. That is for sure. Like, and you could definitely come up with critiques. And if you don't like David Ross, I think that that's fine. But I think that it's not his turn yet. The ball is still in Jed Hoyer's hands. And it's, you know, David Ross plays a crucial role in all of this. But right now, it's all Jed Hoyer trying to put this together for the, trying to find, now look like, this is a Jed Hoyer spot right here. You're 22-30. You've got, again, Tampa Bay coming in, the West Coast road trip. Are you looking at the 5.5 games out, or are you doing what I am doing now and looking at the record and looking at what this team actually is? And we know that even if the Cubs were to sneak in somehow, this roster is probably not sustainable for big-time winning in the future. So it's in Jed Hoyer's hands again to make the moves that he needs to make sure that there is sustained success. And that might mean trading guys. And that might be, you know, thinking, you know, Marcus Stroman and the opt out and just guys that might have value. So while I am not here to defend David Ross and tell you that he's a great manager, and if I see things that I don't like, I will tell you for sure. And, you know, went through some of the failed bullpen moves by David Ross that, you know, over this weekend that didn't work. But I do think that as long as his moves aren't egregious in terms of the personnel, that is such a crapshoot when you are shining a light on a manager in regards to what the bullpen does. It's just too bad. The Cubs lost to the Reds yesterday, 8-5. I'm Mark Rohde, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, 312-644-6767. I just realized that I've been talking for 17 minutes, and I'd love to give you guys a chance to talk too about the Cubs or the White Sox. And we're going to get into the White Sox. We'll tell you what happened in the White Sox game yesterday. Then we're going to do a little bit of a weekend investigation centering on Lance Lynn. So a little more Cubs, a lot more Sox coming up in the next segment. We're going to circle into some Bears at 11 a.m. We'll talk to Clay Harbor, get in some Bears. At noon, Andy Martinez, Cubs writer for Marquee Sports Network, will talk more with us about the Cubs who do play baseball today right here on The Score. Well, actually at Wrigley Field, but you can listen to them here on The Score. The Cubs hosting the Rays for you at 12:45. It's Memorial Day on The Score. I'm Mark Grody, and this is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The Cubs are a Jed Hoyer team. It's not a David Ross team. So while your criticism can and at times should be directed towards the manager, David Ross, it's Hoyer time because this is the year two or three or whatever you want to call it of this Chicago Cubs Jed Hoyer rebuild. It can become a David Ross team once they are built. That's usually the nature of it. As a team is rebuilding, manager needs to work closely with the GM. You sit back for a second. I know. It's frustrating. Hold on, Skipper. Well, I know. I remember last year, David Ross, the comments about the Dodgers team, like that's a $40 billion payroll coming in here. David Ross knows. So Jed Hoyer is sitting there going, Hold on. But the name of the hurricane is Hurricane Dick. No, he's saying, hold on. It's going to happen. Yeah, I know, Fulmer. I know you had to put Jeremiah Estrada in. I know. I got you. Okay. I see you. So that's what's going on, like, I think, you know, with David Ross and Jed Hoyer right now. And it's got to get frustrating at times for David Ross, but you know, Jed Hoyer is responsible for getting this thing in place. And until this team is rebuilt, that's when the real criticism of David Ross should come, or at least the pointed criticism, the you are losing because of criticism, all of that kind of stuff, I think opens up once the team actually has the horses in place. As long as he is not making, and I think that this would be from Jed Hoyer's perspective, and I think maybe ours too, as long as David Ross is not making egregious errors where you're not really sure if he's got this, like maybe he's not a manager. As long as he's not making egregious errors, he's okay. And this is not me telling you can't nitpick on David Ross. That's not what this is all about. 312-644-6767. Talking Cubs right now. We're going to switch to White Sox in a second. But right now, let's go to the phone lines at 312-644-6767. It is Derek from Wisconsin. What's going on, Derek? You're on The Score.
I'm sorry. I had to kind of clear my throat. I was going to vomit listening to that. I think that's loser mentality.
We're going to vomit listening to what?
Well, just the pacifist loser mentality that as long as David Ross isn't losing games egregiously, listen, if he's an MLB manager, I want to know what he's doing that makes your team better. And so far as, like, you know, I'm not ready to give him a free pass watching this team with some of the in-game decisions he makes with his goofy lineups that he rolls out all the time where he takes hitters that are hitting active and hot and puts them at the bottom of the lineup. His decisions with the bullpen have been questionable. And to me, I listened to that interview you guys did with Jed Hoyer about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It sounded like it was almost insulting to the fans because it was a bunch of corporate speak. I mean, so he gets on there and he says, listen, we can't have David Ross be, essentially what he said is we can't have David Ross be accountable because look at the horses that he's dealing with, as you said, right?
Who's
the guy who's responsible for bringing those people to Chicago along with Hosmer and Mancini, and you know, you don't have a third baseman, you don't have a quality first baseman out there. The decision to keep Morel in the minors, I feel like Jed just kind of like skipped over that. You're the guy who built the bullpen.
Well, that's what I mean, man, and that's my point too. Is that this is until further notice. This is a Jed Hoyer team, and I'm not saying, Derek, that David Ross deserves excuses. I am just saying that at this point It's still the Hoyer show. And once they get this thing in rhythm, then it could be the David Ross show, and then all of it should be, or a lot more, I think, should be piled on Ross at that point.
I just think that's the wrong way to go about it. I don't think that somebody in the major leagues should be there to earn his wings. I feel like you need to get somebody that's ready and prepared for a major league team, not somebody that was an MLB catcher and just assume, you know, hey, I appreciate what he did for us in 2016, but yeah. If we want to build a winning culture and a winning organization, we need quality, not just at the position players, but in the coaching staff as well. And it's great that you want to endorse him. He's a good guy. Everybody loves Rossi. I get that. But he might not be, and from what I've seen, he's not necessarily an MLB manager, and that's just where I leave it. I don't dislike the guy personally.
I got you.
I think we could do better. So
all right, Derek. Good call, Derek. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. And I completely agree, too. David Ross should not get away with being David Ross, and I don't think that he still has that rock star status. I mean, he's always going to have been a Cubs World Series champion and Grandpa Rossi and all of that, so there's always going to be that little warm spot, I think, for Cubs fans as it pertains to David Ross. But guess what I heard out at Wrigley Field on Saturday? I heard boos. I heard boos. I can't remember what the exact scenario was. What was the scenario on Saturday? That was the Jameson Taillon. By the way, Taillon, not Taillon, Taillon. Man, I kind of liked it when Taillon was injured because then nobody mispronounced his name. It was great. Taillon. I know. It looks like Taillon. The man's name is Jameson Taillon. But there was booing at Wrigley Field on Saturday when I believe Fulmer gave up that home run to Jonathan India, who was just hitting home runs on Saturday at Wrigley Field. So, yeah, they're not booing David Ross necessarily, but I kind of suspected that this would happen this year, and I like it that Cubs fans expect something this year. They do. Like, as it turns out, when the Cubs were playing well, which wasn't that long ago, and they were around 500 and over 500, that the Cubs fans were like, yeah, this is cool. This is better. This is so much better. This is a little bit more of what we expect. So then when they start to go down the tubes again now, I love that Cubs fans are feeling it a little bit. They're like, no. Like, maybe Cubs fans wouldn't have been booing in that exact scenario last year in the fifth inning at Wrigley Field in a May game against the Cincinnati Reds. Maybe they would have let that slide. But Fulmer giving up big home runs, or home run, I guess. I don't think India hit them both off Fulmer, did he? I don't think so. Yeah, Fulmer was out by then because it was on to the next bad reliever. I think it was Jeremiah Estrada at that point. So, yeah, it all kind of comes together and makes sense. So any other thing on the Cubs, 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's go to Adam from Schaumburg. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Good, Adam. How you doing, man?
Good, but frustrated as a Cubs fan, man.
I get that
Ross has not had good pieces, especially in the bullpen. But he hasn't done anything on the flip side. He hasn't done anything to deserve all this slack. Like, what has he shown? What has he proven to us that he can be a good or great manager? To me, the hire from the beginning has been, I'm going to be a yes man for Jed and Tom Ricketts. That's what all this has screamed for me. And the bullpen, whatever. But how do you bat Talkman third? That's kind of stunning to me.
Well, I'll let you keep on talking. But yeah, that one caught me off guard too. And then you start to wonder too about, is David Ross doing the proverbial message back to the general manager? Like I was saying, that figurative conversation that I was going through on the radio earlier of Ross sitting there going, oh, okay, you're not going to help me with this. Well, then I'm going to do that. And I'm not saying that's contentious, because clearly it's not. But Ross is like, this is what you gave me. They're going to play.
Yeah, it's weird because anybody who watches baseball or watches the Cubs regularly, I mean, seeing Talkman third just sticks out like a sore thumb to any baseball fan. So that was weird. The other thing is, as a Cubs fan, I'm sorry. I'm just sick of Ricketts. Being the Chicago Cubs, having this organization and being middle of the pack in payroll, I mean, that's just cheap. And, it's all about Marquee Sports Network. And by the way, the Marquee Sports Network, you still, on most streaming services, cannot see that. So it's not the best idea for the next generation of Cubs fans who, people in their 20s who are trying to cut the cable cord and can't watch the Cubs games. I just don't see how any of this is benefiting the Cubs organization. I get he's saving money in the short term, but to me, I think he could do a lot more. And you know what? They're going to pack the stands no matter what. But I think to you kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier. Cubs fans want more and deserve better, and they should with this team. So I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for taking my
all right.
call.
Yeah, thanks for that. And what it reminds me of, too, is as it pertains to Cubs fans, the new mentality that Cubs fans have had and should have had since 2016 is that guess what? To keep all of the peripheral things happy and spinning and turning, Cubs have to win now. Before, that wasn't necessarily the case, but pre-2015, let's say. There was enough fun and bells and whistles and Wrigley Fieldness and all of the improvements around Wrigley Field that it was like, okay, whatever. It's the, it's the whole beer garden mentality, which still exists. I mean, don't get me wrong. Wrigley Field is still a place for tourists and people who just want to party, which I got no issue with and never had. That whole argument always pissed me off. It was like that was the argument against Cubs fans. Oh, yeah, you guys just like to go out there and party and watch baseball. Yeah, that sounds great. But back to the center point here, the Cubs have to win to make all of these things happy and to make everything go round. And that was not the case before. So it's nice to hear somebody call and talk about, Cubs fan, hey, we're not getting Marquee Sports Network. We're not putting up with this, especially since your team is 8 games under 500. So it's not that cut and dry at this point in Cubsdom, to where it's that drastic, but it's happening. It's happening. And that is that you can't get away with losing in the Cubs organization like you once did. And the Cubs, if they're hearing it right, should probably take that as a compliment, that the bar is set differently now for the Cubs, whereas before it wasn't. And it was, for the most part, and I say this in air quotes, okay. And it's in air quotes because guess what? Lots of GMs and managers and presidents and GMs have been fired in Cubs history. So they just tried the wrong way up until about, 2012? Is that when Theo Epstein took over and took this organization into a different direction? And thank God, a different expectation. So we can ditch the loser's mentality, as we were talking about earlier today. I'm Mark Rohde. 312-644-6767 is the number. Coming up here, just in a little bit, about 20 minutes from right now, we will talk Bears. Don't worry. I'm going to talk Bears. Clay Harbor will be on. 9-year NFL veteran. Been on the Score a bunch of times. I've seen him on NBC Sports Chicago. And all the dude does is make sense. So Clay Harbor is going to be on at 11 talking Bears. Andy Martinez, Cubs writer for the Marquee Sports Network, will be on at noon with us. And Cubs baseball, Cubs and Rays at 12:45. Coming up next, we will talk about the Chicago White Sox. It's Grody with you here on Memorial Day on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Well, Andrew, thinking about a bunt. I don't know how many bunts Haas has had during the course of his career, but he's normally a power hitter. That ball's cranked to center field. Robert back on it. Luis makes the catch. Here comes the winning run, and here come the Tigers. 6-5, your final score. We'll be right back.
go down yesterday in 10 innings in Detroit. Detroit 6 and the White Sox 5 again in 10. Jason Benetti with the call along with Steve Stone on NBC Sports Chicago. The Tigers end up taking 3 out of 4 in that series from the Sox. And, yeah, yesterday really sucked. There's just no other way to put it. Because it was trending one of those really nice victories for the Sox yesterday. If you missed it because your weekend is just out of whack, the Sox came back from down 4-1 in the seventh. Eloy Jimenez back with just a bloop two-run double. And I was thinking about Hawk Harrelson when I saw that. He just loved those little duck snorts or look at that ball find space in the outfield. Bloop two-run double. Andrew Vaughn had an RBI. Luis Robert had an RBI. The Sox took the lead in the seventh. 5-4. The Rocky music was playing. And then in the ninth inning, Riley Green with a triple on a play that Luis Robert probably should have made. Probably should have made it. Probably should have been a double. Maybe even a single. Javier Baez grounded to Tim Anderson. Anderson couldn't handle it. Drawn in defense. It couldn't come home with it because he didn't misplay it. He just got hit hard. He got handcuffed. Not an error, but, you know, you can call it a misplay if you'd like. And the tying run scores 5-5 in the ninth. And you just heard what up, Haas? Eric Haas with the game-winning hit for the Tigers, who beat the White Sox again by a final score of 6-5 yesterday. And it's been obviously a rough go for the White Sox. They now 22-33, 6 games out. More than the Cubs, I say, enough with looking at the division and saying, because we did this all last year with the Sox, enough with looking at the division and saying, oh, they're still in there. No, your team is not good. And if maybe you can make it Fugazi good, maybe you can make it fake good this year. It's something that's not sustainable. But look at the record. And not the games out in the division. And I know this just sounds ridiculous, and it goes against fandom mentality and all of that, but we saw this last year with the White Sox. So that's got to be enough of that. The guy that I want to talk about a little bit, though, is Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn has had a rough season. Had an okay start at Detroit on Friday. That was the 12-3 White Sox win. Lynn, 6 innings, 3 runs, 3 hits, 5 strikeouts. Did walk 5 guys, 104 pitches. And as he does, as Lance Lynn does, laboring big time in the 6th inning. This was the Apple TV game. Another reason you may have missed that game. The weekend is out of whack. And, it's an Apple game. Crap. I got to find this again. And maybe that's just me. Got to do this. Do I really want to commit? Yeah, I'm going to do it. And put on the game, and it's just so inconvenient on Apple. You can't flip. It's very disturbing. But, yeah, Jake's out there. Or Lance Lynn is out there laboring big time in the 6th inning. There had been some jawing going on, which we'll get to, between the Tigers players and Lance Lynn. I guess Lynn felt that he was showing up at one point in time in the game. And here's a sneaky little gem for you as well, because this is White Sox manager Ozzie Guillen. This is my investigation here, by the way. This is going to lead to more. This is Ozzie Guillen talking about Lance Lynn after that Friday start in Detroit on Apple TV, but this is on NBC Sports Chicago.
I even eat breakfast yet, guys. Save it. Save it, Lynn, because when you was pitching like crap in April, nobody ever showed you up. By the way, this is not the first time. You have 12 seasons in the big league. You're the glue of the ball club. You're the cat, and the people look up to you. You got to stop doing that. You got to stop doing that. If you want to get to the playoff, stop doing that. By the way, you want to talk to me, I'll be there Tuesday. I don't want to apologize to you like somebody out there.
It fires you up seeing how
he's... No, because, man, listen, right now they're in a good position to take over. Now you see this for the 10, 12-year veteran, yeah. The glue of the ball club. I love the way he talk. I love the way he expresses himself. I love the way he go by his business. But when you see this, no matter who you are, what you do, That's a no-no. No. Not because Moncada. People say, oh, you just say because Moncada is your boy. Against anybody.
Yeah.
I got a problem with Alec Fernandez. I stress it right away. You got a problem with me, I have a problem with you. And I make it one error, one of the best shortstop in the league, because I say, oh, really? You got to show me up? Next ground ball here, I throw it right to the stands. Now you have men on second base. Say something.
That is Ozzie Guillen right there. And you heard him reference, and he's talking about Lance Lynn, the White Sox pitcher, in regards to the fry. Why don't I give you some of that? So I have no problem with the broadcast on Apple. It's just that when it's like, got to find Apple and all, you get, you know, whatever. So I'm watching the game. There's Lance Lynn laboring in the sixth inning. And because it's on Apple, I think, and I know that like the other net, like Marquee and NBC, they pick up stuff because sometimes you just can't help but pick up stuff. But it, like, their mics were wide open for everybody. And Lance Lynn was loud in that inning. And Tyler Farengol, he's our producer back in our studios in Chicago, where I am too. I don't know why I said that, like I'm on the Cubs radio network right now. I think I just had a flashback. Tyler, is what happened right there. Tyler, how many cuts do we have of Lance Lynn? Lay it down to me what we have exactly. What did the audio pick up or the microphones pick up from Lance?
So we have that big sixth inning debacle that you're talking about with the four-letter word everybody has to bleep out. And then we have a little bit of audio of him in the first inning with you going back and forth with me earlier. That one's a little bit harder to like clear up, but he was definitely fired up in the first inning too.
So the one which is after the final out of the game, is that correct?
Went six innings, correct?
Not out of the game of the inning. So
yes.
I'm just trying to set this up properly, and I probably should have done this better during the break, but it's him saying it's Lance Lynn pitching to Jake Rogers, and here's what happened.
Lance Lynn threw six. Frustrated, but on the winning end.
So he says, F you! Or was it off? I don't know. Play it again. Bleep off. All right, but I have to give credit to. So the Ryan Spielborgs was the guy on Apple TV, and he actually predicted it. It was pretty amazing. He said, get ready for Lance Lynn to unload if he gets Jake Rogers out. And
God!
I mean, imagine having that kind of rage. You're just so mad at your job that you could yell, F off! Okay, so you okay, man? Imagine that in any other line of work, right? Where you're running around yelling at people and you're kicking Gatorade coolers and people are actually more worried about you and you're not worried about your employment. But, oh, yeah. Well, this for kicks. Let's listen to what you were able to come up with, Tyler, for the first inning, and maybe if it'll come through a little better from Lance Lynn.
Strike three called to end the inning. And Lance Lynn is fired up.
I don't know why that makes me laugh so much, but it does. Just a big, bearded, yelling man during the White Sox game. It's just so great. The other thing, too, before we take the break, I have to get this in, too. Going back to the cut earlier from Ozzie Guillen and saying, I'm not going to apologize to anybody, and like some people, I think he said, I'm not going to apologize like some people. That was definitely a reference to Steve Stone apologizing to Lance Lynn for saying something to the effect of maybe a couple of salads would help him in terms of the pacing of the pitch clock. Do we have Steve Stone discussing that on the Parkinson Spiegel show?
Yes, we do.
Let's rock that.
There's nothing you can do but adapt or die. Isn't that what they tell you about life? You have to adapt or die. Same thing with Lance. He's got to adjust to the pitch clock. If that is indeed what's bothering him, you adjust to it, or you find yourself another profession. And one of the things I've seen with Lance, and you can watch it. I mean, you know, when you get shots from a center field camera, which you get a lot of, look at how much of the plate when Lance misses, he's missing. He's missing down the middle a lot. If he's trying to get the ball on the outside corner, he gets it middle in. They usually hit that ball hard. So they're hitting his mistakes. They're usually not hitting too many of his real good pitches. He's just not making near as many real good pitches as he needs to make. And, you know, another factor, and this is tough because he's had a lot of leg issues and another, you know, other things, but maybe if cardiovascularly it's bothering him, which a pitch clock, maybe a couple of salads would help. You know, somewhere along the line, I'm thinking if you're having, and I don't know that he's having problems with that, but if that is a problem, then maybe if you improve your cardiovascular by losing a couple of pounds or doing whatever he's going to do to work out. And again, I don't know how much he can do with the leg problems that he's had in the past. And that's a very big factor for him, a very big factor for every pitcher. If you have leg issues, eventually you're not going to be able to throw very well. So I don't know what the answer is for Lance. I do know he's a fierce competitor, and I'm hoping he turns it around. Right now, the only thing I see on a consistent basis, he's missing and hitting too much of the plate.
And that's really good. I mean, it's funny, the salads thing. Oh, and don't worry, Lance, I could use a salad or three myself. Ain't going to happen today either. Memorial Day? Uh-uh. But so that there's Steve Stone, and he eventually talked to Lance Lynn, and they cleared everything up. So that was kind of my point. But in the midst of my point, I did like what Steve Stone was saying about Lance Lynn, and that can be devastating. It could be that fine line of teams are hitting your mistakes. You know, you got away with a mistake. Oh, he got away with that one. Put it right down the hung one right down the plate, and he just missed it. Lance Lynn is at a point. I'm not saying he's getting older. I'm not ready to say like Lance Lynn is done or he's lost something, but I guess you are losing something when you get to that point where teams are consistently hitting your mistakes. And I think that's what's happening with Lance Lynn. I bet you're not having a salad either today. I mean, nobody listening is having a salad. There will be barbecuing in my life today. My friend Lisa is our grill master. If you go to my Instagram, you should follow me on Instagram just for fun, Mark_Grody. I got my story up there. It's my friend Lisa. She is having a party today, and she does the grilling, and she tells us what it's all about, and you can see my other friend getting scolded. So that's my Memorial Day in case you are interested. But next, we're going to talk some Bears. We're going to talk Bears with 9-year NFL veteran Clay Harbor. That's next. I'm Mark Grody at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Landru thinking about a bunt. I don't know how many bunts Haas has had during the course of his career, but he's normally a power hitter. That ball's cranked to center field. Robert back on it. Luis makes the catch. Here comes the winning run, and here come the Tigers. 6-5, your final score.
Go down yesterday in 10 innings in Detroit. Detroit 6 and the White Sox 5 again in 10. Jason Benetti with the call along with Steve Stone on NBC Sports Chicago. The Tigers end up taking 3 out of 4 in that series from the Sox. And yeah, yesterday really sucked. There's just no other way to put it. Because it was trending. One of those really nice victories for the Sox yesterday. If you missed it because your weekend is just out of whack, the Sox came back from down 4-1 in the seventh. Eloy Jimenez back with just a bloop 2-run double. And I was thinking about Hawk Harrelson when I saw that. He just loved those little duck snorts or look at that ball find space in the outfield. Bloop 2-run double. Andrew Vaughn had an RBI. Luis Robert had an RBI. The Sox took the lead in the seventh. 5-4. The Rocky music was playing. And then in the ninth inning, Riley Green with a triple on a play that Luis Robert probably should have made. Probably should have made it. Probably should have been a double. Maybe even a single. Javier Baez, grounder to Tim Anderson. Anderson couldn't handle it. Drawn in defense. It couldn't come home with it because he just... he didn't misplay it. He just got hit hard. He got handcuffed. Not an error, but, you know, you can call it a misplay if you'd like. And the tying run scores 5-5 in the ninth. And you just heard, what up, Haas? Eric Haas with the game-winning hit for the Tigers, who beat the White Sox again by a final score of 6-5 yesterday. And it's been obviously a rough go for the White Sox. They now 22-33, six games out. More than the Cubs, I say enough with looking at the division and saying, because we did this all last year with the Sox, enough with looking at the division and saying, oh, they're still in there. No, your team is not good. And if maybe you can make it Fugazi good, maybe you can make it fake good this year. It's something that's not sustainable. But look at the record. And not the games out in the division. And I know this just sounds ridiculous, and it goes against fandom mentality and all of that, but we saw this last year with the White Sox. So that's got to be enough of that. The guy that I want to talk about a little bit, though, is Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn has had a rough season. Had an okay start at Detroit on Friday. That was the 12-3 White Sox win. Lynn, six innings, three runs, three hits, five strikeouts, did walk five guys, 104 pitches, and as he does, as Lance Lynn does, laboring big time in the sixth inning. This was the Apple TV game. Another reason you may have missed that game. It's the weekend is out of whack, and it's an Apple game. Crap. I got to find this again. And maybe that's just me. Got to do this. Do I really want to commit? Yeah, I'm going to do it. And put on the game, and it's just so inconvenient on Apple. You can't flip. It's very disturbing. But, yeah, Jake's out there. Or Lance Lynn is out there laboring big time in the sixth inning. There had been some jawing going on, which we'll get to, between the Tigers players and Lance Lynn. I guess Lynn felt that he was showing up at one point in time in the game. And here's a sneaky little gem for you as well, because this is White Sox manager Ozzie Guillen. This is my investigation here, by the way. This is going to lead to more. This is Ozzie Guillen talking about Lance Lynn after that Friday start in Detroit on Apple TV, but this is on NBC Sports Chicago.
Dude, I didn't even eat breakfast yet, guys. Save it. Save it, Lynn, because when you was pitching like crap in April, nobody ever showed you up. By the way, this is not the first time. You have 12 seasons in the big league. You're the glue of the ball club. You're the captain. The people look up to you. You got to stop doing that. You got to stop doing that. If you want to get to the playoff, stop doing that. By the way, you want to talk to me? I'll be there Tuesday. I don't want to apologize to you like somebody out there.
It fires you up seeing how
he's... No, because, man, listen, right now they're in a good position to take over. Now you see this for the 10, 12-year veteran, yeah. The glue of the ball club. I love the way he talk. I love the way he expresses himself. I love the way he go by his business. But when you see this, no matter who you are, what you do, that's a no-no. No. Not because Moncada. People say, oh, you just say because Moncada is your boy. Against anybody.
Yeah.
I got a problem with Alec Fernandez. I stress it right away. You got a problem with me, I have a problem with you. And I make it one error, one of the best shortstop in the league, because I say, oh, really? You got to show me up? Next ground ball here, I throw it right to the stands. Now you have men on second base. Say something.
That is Ozzie Guillen right there. And you heard him reference, and he's talking about Lance Lynn, the White Sox pitcher, in regards to why don't I give you some of that? So, I have no problem with the broadcast on Apple. It's just that when it's like, gotta find Apple and all, you get, you know, whatever. So I'm watching the game. There's Lance Lynn laboring in the sixth inning. And because it's on Apple, I think, and I know that like the other net, like Marquee and NBC, they pick up stuff because sometimes you just can't help but pick up stuff. But it, like, their mics were wide open for everybody. And Lance Lynn was loud in that inning. And Tyler Farengol, he's our producer back in our studios in Chicago, where I am too. I don't know why I said that, like I'm on the Cubs radio network right now. I think I just had a flashback, Tyler, is what happened right there. Tyler, how many cuts do we have of Lance Lynn? Lay it down to me what we have exactly. What did the audio pick up or the microphones pick up from Lance?
So we have that big sixth inning debacle that you're talking about with the four-letter word everybody has to bleep out. And then we have a little bit of audio of him in the first inning with you going back and forth with me earlier. That one's a little bit harder to like clear up, but he was definitely fired up in the first inning too.
So the one you have the one which is after the final out of the game. Is that correct?
Yes, because he went six innings, correct?
Not out of the game, of the inning. So
yes.
I'm just trying to set this up properly, and I probably should have done this better during the break, but it's him saying it's Lance Lynn pitching to Jake Rogers, and here's what happened.
God! Lance Lynn threw six. Frustrated, but on the winning end.
So he says, F you! Or was it off? I don't know. Play it again. Bleep off. All right. But I have to give credit to. So the Ryan Spielborgs was the guy on Apple TV, and he actually predicted it. It was pretty amazing. He said, get ready for Lance Lynn to unload if he gets Jake Rogers out. And
God!
I mean, imagine having that kind of rage. You're just so mad at your job that you could yell, F off! Okay. So, you okay, man? Imagine that in any other line of work, right? Where you're running around yelling at people and you're kicking Gatorade coolers and people are actually more worried about you and you're not worried about your employment. But, oh, yeah. Well, this for kicks. Let's listen to what you were able to come up with, Tyler, for the first inning, and maybe if it'll come through a little better from Lance Lynn.
Strike three called to end the inning, and Lance Lynn is fired up.
I don't know why that makes me laugh so much, but it does. Just a big, bearded, yelling man during the White Sox game. It's just so great. The other thing, too, before we take the break, I have to get this in, too. Going back to the cut earlier from Ozzie Guillen and saying, I'm not going to apologize to anybody. And I'm not going to apologize like some people. That was definitely a reference to Steve Stone apologizing to Lance Lynn for saying something to the effect of maybe a couple of salads would help him in terms of the pacing of the pitch clock. Do we have Steve Stone discussing that on the Parkinson Spiegel show?
Yes, we do.
Let's rock that.
There's nothing you can do but adapt or die. Isn't that what they tell you about life? You have to adapt or die. Same thing with Lance. He's got to adjust to the pitch clock. If that is indeed what's bothering him, you adjust to it or you find yourself another profession. And one of the things I've seen with Lance, and you can watch it. I mean, you know, when you get shots from a center field camera, which you get a lot of, look at how much of the plate when Lance misses, he's missing. He's missing down the middle a lot. If he's trying to get the ball on the outside corner, he gets it middle in. They usually hit that ball hard. So they're hitting his mistakes. They're usually not hitting too many of his real good pitches. He's just not making near as many real good pitches as he needs to make. And, you know, another factor, and this is tough because he's had a lot of leg issues and other things, but maybe if cardiovascularly it's bothering him, which a pitch clock, maybe a couple of salads would help. You know, somewhere along the line, I'm thinking if you're having, and I don't know that he's having problems with that, but if that is a problem, then maybe if you improve your cardiovascular by losing a couple of pounds or doing whatever he's going to do to work out. And again, I don't know how much he can do with the leg problems that he's had in the past. And that's a very big factor for him, a very big factor for every pitcher. If you have leg issues, eventually you're not going to be able to throw very well. So I don't know what the answer is for Lance. I do know he's a fierce competitor. and I'm hoping he turns it around. Right now, the only thing I see on a consistent basis, he's missing and hitting too much of the plate.
And that's really good. I mean, it's funny, the salads thing. Oh, and don't worry, Lance, I could use a salad or three myself. Ain't going to happen today either. Memorial Day? Uh-uh. But, so that there's Steve Stone, and he eventually talked to Lance Lynn, and they cleared everything up, so that was kind of my point. But in the midst of my point, I did like what Steve Stone was saying about Lance Lynn, and that can be devastating. It could be that fine line of teams are hitting your mistakes. You know, you got away with a mistake. Oh, he got away with that one. Put it right down, the hung one right down the plate, and he just missed it. Lance Lynn is at a point. I'm not saying he's getting older. I'm not ready to say like Lance Lynn is done or he's lost something, but I guess you are losing something when you get to that point where teams are consistently hitting your mistakes. And I think that's what's happening with Lance Lynn. I bet you're not having a salad either today. I mean, nobody listening is having a salad. There will be barbecuing in my life today. My friend Lisa is our grill master. If you go to my Instagram, you should follow me on Instagram just for fun, Mark_Grody. I got my story up there. It's my friend Lisa. She is having a party today, and she does the grilling, and she tells us what it's all about, and you can see my other friend getting scolded. So that's my Memorial Day in case you are interested. But next, we're going to talk some Bears. We're going to talk Bears with 9-year NFL veteran Clay Harbor. That's next. I'm Mark Grody at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.